Let us join together, please, in singing the first hymn in our order of service. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me to him who death pursued. Everybody in the singing, please.
Thank you.
Now let us each one bow together in prayer as we look to the Lord for this day, for the Lord's help, and that we might know and experience God's presence here among us. Let us pray. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Father in heaven, as we bow before thee, O God, this day in prayer, Lord, we thank thee that we can approach unto thee, unto the throne of grace and mercy. The God who is high and lifted up, the one who is holy, the majesty on high. And yet we thank thee, Father in heaven, that we are enabled this day for to come to approach unto the Almighty. We thank thee, Father in heaven, that we have a mediator, that we have one who intercedes for us in the glory, the man Christ Jesus, the one who became flesh and who dwelt among us. No, God, we thank thee for him today, the one who came down to this world, the one who was born for us and lived upon this earth, went to Calvary, bore the sins of his people, bore our sins and our shame and our very condemnation. Oh, we thank thee we can say today, oh, what a Saviour, that he died for me. From condemnation he has set me free. And we thank thee, Lord, that this is surely the testimony of many in our gathering today. And Lord, we do pray in our Saviour's name that, O God, you'll draw nigh to us. And Lord, for all who are out of Christ this day, Lord, ere this service comes to a conclusion, that, Lord, they might think upon their latter end, that they too may be able to say from their hearts today, no condemnation,
amen,
now I dread. We praise thee, Father, today for the gospel. We thank thee for the precious blood that was freely shed. And, O God, we thank thee that there is a remedy for sin and for all uncleanness in the blood of the Lamb. We know today there is nothing else can meet our need. No device of man, no creed, though it be good. Lord, we thank thee for the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. We draw nigh to thee, our Father, this day, having no merits of our own, nothing at all to boast of, nothing to claim. We thank thee, Lord, that all our merits are in the blood of Christ. We thank thee, Father in heaven. Lord, be pleased to presence thyself with us here in this service. We thank thee, our God and Father, today. Lord, as we think of this funeral service, it reminds us all, each and every one of us today, every such meeting, every such service reminds us that our time is short and we have not long to stay. Oh, that men would be ready, saved by grace, born again, regenerated by the power of the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven. God be pleased to answer prayer. Remember the family here, Lord, gathered today. Johnson family, each and every one. Draw near to them, O God, at this time. May they know the sympathy of Christ. For we thank thee we have one today who sympathizes with us, and who is indeed touched with the very feelings of our infirmities. Bless the family at this time, sons, daughters, grandchildren, the wider family circle also. Lord, grant thy help, grant thy blessed presence this day. Abide with us, Lord, we ask. We thank you for the life and the testimony of Mrs. Johnson.
Yes.
We praise thee, Lord, for her. When we think, O God, of her cheerfulness, Lord, in in the face of all that she had to pass through. We thank thee for her bright testimony. And we thank you today that we know she's in heaven. She was ready, prepared. She was looking forward to it, her departure from this world. God, we thank thee for that. So we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. Abide with us, Lord, this day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask the Reverend Foster, the former minister of this congregation, for to come and read the scriptures for us, and for to bring a tribute also to Mrs. Johnson. Mr. Foster was Mrs. Johnson's minister here for well nigh 30 years, and knew her far better than many of us here today. And so he's well qualified for to come and to speak today. Thank you.
I'd like to turn your attention, please, to a passage in the New Testament that is well suited to this occasion. It's found in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 5. You'll discover that in the Bible, God's people are very often instructed about death. It's not a subject that God would have us shy away from. It's a subject he would have us face up to and recognize. We must all needs die, the Bible says. Though most people like to imagine that they're never going to die. It'll never happen to them. And if they don't actually believe that, they do their best to put it out of their mind so it looks as if they believe it. Now listen to God's word as we read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know, note that word, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God. It's always necessary, you know, when you're reading a letter, to make sure it's addressed to you. Otherwise, you might be claiming that which is not yours at all. Paul says, we know. And you only have to go to the beginning of the epistle and you'll find who it is he's talking about. He's talking about Christians in Corinth. Christians know. Please bear that in mind. Christians have a building of God. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this house, this body, we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. I can't help but mention that on the order of service you will see two hymns. We have yet to sing them that mention heaven. Mrs. Johnson thought often of heaven. Mm-hmm. And she loved it whenever there was a preaching about the eternal state of the redeemed and the coming of the Lord that would bring in that happy, happy state. And if so, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, this body, do groan, being burdened, for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. It's not a matter of we want to die, but we want what comes after death. Mm-hmm. That's what the Christian thinking is. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest, or the down payment, the deposit of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's where Mrs. Johnson is today. She's present with the Lord. Her mortal remains are here amongst us, but she is in heaven with the Lord. May God bless this brief reading from His precious Word. The family have very kindly asked me to pay tribute to the grace and to the mercy of God that was displayed in the life of their mother. And I would thank the family for that. For I think a minister has no greater honor than to tell the story of how God in mercy saved a sinner. We go back to 1947, and on the 2nd of August of that year, Jacqueline Johnson was born in the townland of Killimoonan, which is near to Fintna. I could take you there, but we'll not do that just today. She began her school life in Tullyrush Primary School. I could take you there as well. And then progressed to Omaha School. For her career, Jacqueline felt a calling to enter nursing. When she trained in the Mid-Ulster Hospital in Machrafelt from 1966 to 1969. And after that, when qualified, she moved for a time to the Ulster Hospital up in Dundonald. And then she moved to the Erne Hospital for a time down here, the old Erne, that is, in Enniskillen. And she also worked and nursed in the Clogher old folks' home. She married Jimmy, to whom he is known by that name, less formal than James, but he was always Jimmy to us who knew him. She married Jimmy in Seskenore Presbyterian Church on the 1st of April, 1975. And it was just 2 years later that the young couple welcomed their first son, Linda. Then the daughter came along, Deborah, and her second son, Neil, and then the baby, Matthew. A happy family, I do believe, and we saw them as a family for many years here in Kilskerry. The most important event, and when getting this date, or being reminded of this date, that was said to me by a member of the family, the most important date and event for mother and father, Jimmy and Jacqueline, took place in 1979. For it was in that year they were converted. Also the year that Deborah was born, as I have already indicated. I was doing a little searching among the few diaries that I kept and have been able to hold on to, and I found that I dedicated Deborah on the 27th of May, 1979. It is my practice, or I should perhaps remind myself of retired and say it was my practice, to speak to a young couple who were bringing forward a baby for dedication about the solemn nature of the promises that they were about to undertake before the people of God regarding their duties as parents to the child. And I'm sure that as a result of that talk, I have to confess the memory just has a few blank spots, but I'm sure that it was as a result of that conversation in the home that Jimmy and Jacqueline trusted Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
When I spoke of Jimmy's funeral, I mentioned the fact, and I would have gotten that date from Jacqueline at the time, that Jimmy was converted in May 1979. And I think it all ties together. The both of them came to the Lord. The boys were telling me this morning that's their memory of conversations with them, that they both came to the Lord at the same time. When her family was grown, Mrs. Johnson still was anxious to help others. That instinct that took her into nursing was still there. And she was engaged in child minding right up until her health, her failing health, made it impossible. Many times when I went to visit, I was entertained by a little boy or a little girl, a little infant that she was looking after, and I had to be introduced to them, and I might have even done a little nursing. Of course, when you have six of your own, that's not something strange to you. Of course, Jacqueline nursed Jimmy on many occasions because he suffered from diabetes. And Jimmy, like a farmer, didn't always come home at the time the meal was appointed. And when you've got diabetes, you can't do that. And the boys were telling me that many a time in the hayfield, Jimmy would announce, "I'm beginning to see stars." And somebody would have to get him some chocolate or whatever. And he didn't always take care as perhaps he should have. And during the night, he was bordering on a coma. And the nursing skills and the love of Jacqueline was called upon. She also nursed Neil through that very trying time following his accident. And it was a great burden to her. Now a widow, caring for her son, seeing the difficulties he was encountering. Many, many times we talked together at that time, and I knew that it was a great distress to her. But kindly and lovingly, faithfully, she stood by and helped Neil in that time of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the difficulties then overtook Jacqueline. The ill health that in the end signaled her departure from the scene of time came upon her. I think it reached very definite manifestations shortly after we entered the new century, somewhere about 2004 or 2005. But you know, in those times of difficulty, when she did have real problems with her breathing, etc., her sister Helen would appear there in Irvinstown. And if I called, I had to stop for a second or two because they looked so alike, and I had to just puzzle for a moment or two just who it was that had come to the door. And many times Jacqueline would have gone up to Lisburn to her sister and found help and respite there. I'm sure that kindness is not forgotten. I preached on a text at Jimmy's funeral, Isaiah chapter 3 and the verse 10, which says, "Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings." And what our text says there is wonderfully expounded and explained in the experiences of Mrs. Johnson. For she who nursed many, including her family, was in the end lovingly and kindly nursed in hospital. She was entering into the labours that she had bestowed upon others. As I say, I spoke on this text. It's almost 21 years ago, it will be that next month, when Jimmy was suddenly, unexpectedly, tragically, speaking in human terms, called away. Today, I just want to remind the congregation of that text by reading it to you as I have done, as I pay a tribute to the mercy of God in the life of Jacqueline Johnson. At my last visit with her on Friday, the 5th of April, actually I had my wife in hospital down in Oma for some tests, and while that was taking place I thought I would just shoot up the corridor and have a little time with Mrs. Johnson. I alternate, you will notice, between Mrs. Johnson and Jacqueline. I come from that old school that find it difficult to call folk by their first name, and I'm not like the modern approach, but she was Jacqueline. Mm-hmm. We knew her well, though we very often would use the more formal and proper title of Mrs. Johnson. But I called in to see her on that occasion, spoke to her. There was a doctor coming just up the ward, and there was only her and one other in the ward, and I knew he was coming to see her, so I had to take my leave of her, and I took a few steps and then I turned back. Not really sure why, but I turned back and I took her hand and I said, "Jacqueline, we've known each other for a long, long, long time. And you know the folks in Kilskerry are praying for you. The Lord bless you." As I say, I don't know why I did that, because she looked as well as she had looked for quite some time and during her illness, and I didn't see any deterioration. But a week later, Jacqueline was in heaven. And I'm just thankful to the Lord that I was moved just to take that moment to grip her hand as I took leave of her in that little visit. Jacqueline was a long-time friend to myself, if I may speak personally. I have known her since the late 1970s, for her parents were members of the Oma Church, and I was in charge of that church on occasions, and I knew her parents well. When her mother widowed, Mrs. Beattie, she moved to Irvinestown, and she attended Kilskerry here, where Jacqueline and Jimmy were already in membership. So I've known the family, and I've known Jacqueline for a long time. She was a loving wife and mother. I've already mentioned how on many occasions her nursing skill was called upon because of Jimmy's diabetes. You know, she bore the burden of being a widow with a young family most courageously. She saw them educated. She saw them settled. No easy task. We saw her motherly love and kindness. And we saw it especially during Neil's time of prolonged and difficult illness. And she never faltered. She never faltered. She was a loving wife and mother. She was a beloved sister in Christ. Being widowed so young, there was a special place in the hearts of the people here in Kilskerry. You know, widows are under God's special care. And many times when God gave the law and the prophets expounded the law and reinforced it, you will find God telling his people, take care of the widows. For instance, Zechariah chapter 7, verse 10, oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. God has a special place for the widow. And I'm sure, by the grace of God, there was awakened within the hearts of the people here in Kilskerry a deep love, an admiration for Jacqueline Johnson. The congregation took her upon their hearts at the time of Jimmy's death, and also through the trying period of Neil's illness. And in our prayers, right up, until just over a week ago, there never was a prayer meeting in this place. There's two prayer meetings on the Sabbath day. There's a men's prayer meeting on the Friday night. And there's a Monday congregational prayer meeting. And I believe I can say before God, there never was a prayer meeting, but prayers went up, as she was lovingly referred to as wee Mrs. Johnson. Constantly prayed for, because she was a beloved sister in Christ. She was a faithful church member and an admired Christian. Jacqueline bore with great faith and fortitude and patience her many trials, her personal trials, and as a result of her health problems over recent years. She was admired for her determination to attend God's house as long as she physically could, even when it meant carrying an oxygen tank in the car and having one beside her in the pew. You know, men and women, I'm a long time in God's work, and I am well versed in the fact that there are those who have a drop at the end of their nose on Sunday morning, "Oh, I'm too sick to go to church." But that wasn't the spirit of Jacqueline Johnson. She was a faithful church member. She was an admired Christian. Mm-hmm. We salute her memory. Yeah. And we will miss her. Miss her greatly. And I'm sure I speak on behalf of all. And if I might just especially mention one member here, Mrs. Thompson, a traveling companion for many years, coming to and fro the house of God. I'm sure she'll be missed by Mrs. Thompson. May the Lord bless the family. As I have indicated, I have known you from babies, maybe with the exception of Lyndon. But may the Lord bless you, and bless you through the memory of a faithful, loving, godly, and gentle, and good mother. Please listen to the words she spoke to you often as she commended her Savior to you. The Lord bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Foster, for speaking to us today. And I would like, on behalf of us all gathered here today in this congregation, to convey our sympathies to the Johnson family at this time, to Lyndon and wife Glenda, to Deborah, husband Rob, to Neil and wife Emma Jane, and to the baby of the family, to Matthew also, and to the grandchildren, Zara, Jenny, Kyle, Reagan, Aaron, and Freddie. Mrs. Johnson was a loving mother, thought highly of her family, prayed for them continually, took an interest in each and every one. And if you've ever been to our home, you know how much she thought of her grandchildren, Well, there's plenty of pictures and plenty of photographs there. And she prayed for them also. Two surviving sisters in Australia, Dorothy and Lorna. And Helen, of course, who resides in Lisburn. There is a wider family circle, nieces and nephews. Mm-hmm. And to all we extend our sincere sympathies today. My pleasure to have known Mrs. Johnson over the past 2 years, first to visit her in her own home, and then just of late to visit her in hospital in Enniskillen and in Oma. She was a remarkable lady, as Reverend Foster has said, because there are many things about her that really stood out. In all her illness, she was so patient, and there were times when you can imagine that she wasn't very well at all. So patient and so cheerful and a very contented lady. She knew what it was daily to have fellowship with Christ and in the Word also. She always loved to speak about the things of the Lord, about the Scriptures. She was always thankful. And of course, she was prepared for to go. While she very much appreciated her family, and there was the family ties, nevertheless, she was looking forward to that time, her release from her illness, when she would be with Christ. She had a great interest in the work of God here, Mr. Foster has said. Missionary work, praying for missionaries. Loved to attend the house of God and was very faithful. And she remembered the work continually in prayer. She was one of the Lord's choice saints. And indeed she will be missed. But we rejoice, we thank God today that she is indeed in the presence of the Lord. She's in glory and she's in heaven. I would like us now, please, to join together in singing the second hymn in our order of service. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Let us stand together, please, as we sing.
Oh.
Now, just for a few moments this afternoon, I want to turn your attention to a verse, one verse of Scripture that we read in the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews in the chapter 9 and the verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9 and the verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Now death for the believer is distinctly different from that of the unbeliever. There is a great difference. For the unbeliever it is something to be feared, and if at all possible, to be avoided. But we all know today that there is no avoiding death. When our time comes, it can't be sidestepped and it can't be postponed. We all must face death. But the question is, how will we face death when our time comes? Oliver Goldsmith, the great English author, when he took ill, his physician came to him and he diagnosed that he had a severe fever and his time was short. And his doctor said to him, he said, Mr. Goldsmith, he said, have you got peace? Are you ready to die? But Goldsmith answered and he says, no, he said, I'm not ready to die. And with that, he passed away. How sad. But for the believer, how different. It's hard for us today here gathered just for to conceive and to imagine the beauty and the glories of heaven. What is heaven like? The hymn writer put it like this, oh, to be there in heaven. We only have a faint idea and a faint notion. But heaven is a wonderful place. For the believer, it's like stepping over the threshold into the palace of the king. We could give many pictures and many examples. But I'm sure we've all been to visit great castles and great houses. You look forward to it. And you drive up the laneway, up the entry, and there you see that magnificent building. The time comes when the usher opens the door. It's open for visitation. And there you step in over the threshold. And you view this magnificent place. The great hallway. The stairways. The pictures. The luxury of it all. What a magnificent sight. Like stepping into the palace of a king. But what is that compared to heaven? The Apostle Paul, and let me read just the verse for you in Philippians, chapter 1 and the verse 23. He was looking forward to heaven. And he put it like this. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. As if he was being pulled in two directions. One was for to stay for the benefit of the people of God, but the other to depart. You see, you can be sure of heaven. You may be sure of glory. All who believe on Christ for salvation and who are saved by his grace and who have experienced the regenerating power of God, the Holy Ghost, will be in heaven. And the apostle Paul was looking forward to heaven, which he says was far better. The word appointed here is a very interesting word. It means it is something that is laid up for our appointed lot. Something that is laid up for our appointed lot. That is appointed unto men once to die. This is something laid up for us. It is something we have to meet. I want very briefly just to think of three men and how they died, how they finished. Now the question this afternoon is simply this. It's a solemn question, but I want us to think about it earnestly. How will you die? How will you die? That's the thing. We live in an age that is so frivolous and just set upon enjoyment and all that people can get out of this world. But the question is this: how will you die? What will your latter end be like? We read of a man in Scripture that we're all familiar with, the rich man. We read of him in Luke chapter 16. And the rich man, he died unprepared. He wasn't prepared for to die. But we read in that passage in Luke 16 that he was well prepared for to live. Well prepared to live. I'm sure looking forward to many years ahead. But we read in that passage in Luke chapter 16, the verse 19, that he fared sumptuously every day. He knew all about luxury and about the things of this world. But the unfortunate thing is this, that he wasn't prepared for to go. He had no financial problems. No financial problems. He was secure. And I'm sure he was well thought of among his neighbors. But don't we read in that passage concerning this man that in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments? What an awful way to end. And he could view Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus, whose name means God is my friend. God is my friend. That indicates to us that though Lazarus had very little in this world, the Lord God was his friend. He was trusting in the Lord for salvation. But the rich man died unprepared. He's like that other man that we read of in Luke chapter 12. And you know what Jesus called him? The Lord Jesus called him a fool. That's a serious thing, isn't it? He called him a fool. Because the Lord says, he tells you and me very clearly, we're not to call any man a fool. We're not to call any man a fool. We're not to say to any man, Raca, thou worthless fellow. You remember what Jesus said? That whoever would say, thou fool, will be in danger of hell fire. We'll have to be careful of our words. But he said this man was a fool. Again, he had no preparations made. And he said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This very night. He was pulling down barns, and he was putting up better barns, and he was doing everything. And he was extending his property. But he wasn't prepared for to die. Yes. Can I ask you a question today in this service? If the Lord were to summon you this day, this night, into his presence, where would you be in eternity? How will you die? Yes. Are you prepared for to die? There are many people prepared for to live. And that indicates to us all that there's an awful folly. There's a madness in the heart of every man. There's a madness in the heart of man. Why do I say that? Well, all the effort, as I say, all the effort that goes in to living here in this world for a short season, all the plans, all the schemes, but no preparation made for an endless eternity. Have your preparations made? Are you saved by his grace this day? What are you depending on? For heaven and for glory. Thank God we can say today that Mrs. Johnson did not die unprepared.
Amen.
She was ready. She was ready for to go. But then again, just briefly, there's another man that we read of who wasn't prepared. That man was Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot died unfaithful. Unfaithful. Now, of course, he did not lose his salvation because he was never a converted man. He was never saved in the first instant. Never saved. Jesus said of this man in John chapter 6 and the verse 70, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" When he died, he went to his own place.
Yes.
He went to hell. He went to a lost eternity. How solemn. How terrible. He said it would have been better for this man if he had never been born. To be in the company of Christ. To walk with the Lord for well nigh 3 years. To listen to his preaching. Yes. And to witness his miracles. And yet he sold his Savior for 30 pieces of silver.
Oh.
Must be the worst bargain in all of humanity, in all history. 30 pieces of silver. And when the going got tough, when there were few that stood by the Savior, I think Judas Iscariot must have said to himself, "It's very hard now, there's very few around. I'm going to get out when the going is good." And he got his money. And then, of course, when he realized what he had done, he brought back the silver, cast it down before the high priest. You know what they said to him? "What is that to us? We're not interested in what you've done." They didn't want him, and they didn't want his silver. That's always the way it's sin. With sin, it'll betray us at the end, let us down, and give us over. He died unfaithful. Thank God Mrs. Johnson died faithful.
Yes.
To the end. Faithful to the house of God. She loved the word, loved the Lord, loved the worship of God. She died faithful. But then very quickly there's another man that we read of in the word. That man is Stephen. And he died unafraid. He died unafraid. We read about him in Acts chapter 6. Through to chapter 7 and into chapter 8. He was a preacher of the gospel. And Stephen preached about the resurrection, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what we read about him there, what the Jews did? They gnashed upon him with their teeth. They couldn't stand his words. Just like a dog, they gnashed upon him with his teeth. And they stoned him. They took him out at the end and they stoned him. But he died unafraid. Great way to go, isn't it? Unafraid. Let me just read the verse for you in the book of Acts. There we have it. In Acts, and it's in the chapter 7 and the verse 59. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Receive my spirit. And in verse 55, "And he being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God." Receive my spirit. Mrs. Johnson would have prayed that, knew that the Lord would receive her spirit. John Knox, the great old Scots reformer, said, "Living Christ, dying Christ," he says, "and you'll not fear death." You'll not fear death. How will you die? How will you die? You may say to me today, "I don't want to think about it."
Mm-hmm.
"I don't care. I'm all prepared for to live. And I have plans to live. And I'm going to live. And I'm going to enjoy myself. And I care not tuppence about death." Dear friend, you don't know how long you have to live. And neither do I. James tells us about rich people, about men and their plans. "Today or tomorrow we go into such a city, and there we'll build and do this and the other." He says, "Whereas ye know not what a day may bring forth." We know not. Oh, what a difference in the death of the believer and the death of the unbeliever. But you know, it's not what the gospel is about today. It's good news about Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The best news that this world ever received. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. He's able to save you today. If you look to him and trust him, what are you depending on? depending upon your own merits, upon your good works, upon your church, or upon your prayers? Is that what you're depending on, dear soul, today? It'll not save you. Not save. No, ye must be born again from above.
Yes.
We're all born once. That's why we're here. Well, that first verse, with that came sin, spiritual darkness and spiritual death. If you're saying to me today, it's all crazy, it's madness, I don't believe a word of it. Dear friend, sad to say, it's because you're dead in trespasses and in sins.
Yeah.
Dead. Dead spiritually. But the Lord is able to give you life. Good news. Oh, death, the apostle says. Where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Isn't it wonderful? Christ came into the world to die for sinners, to give us victory over death, over the grave, and to take us to heaven at last. And whoever believes on him will not be ashamed. Praise God for that. What do I do today? Has the Lord spoken to you in this meeting? And over the past while, call upon him for mercy.
Amen.
Call upon him for mercy. Do not put it off. Lord, be merciful to me.
Yes.
Wash me, O Lamb of God. Give me a new heart. Give me a new start. Save me from my sins.
Yes.
When I die, I want to go to be with the Lord. And I want to live for the Lord here and now. And I want to go to heaven when the time comes. After this, the judgment. There's a judgment coming. Doesn't matter about people, they can deny it all they want and write against it and speak against it. There's a judgment to come. Doesn't change the fact. The truth is Scripture. Be ready, dear soul, be ready. Believe on him without delay, and you are surely blessed. Dear soul, there's a heaven today to be gained. People, you know, think about the Lord. If they think about him, don't they very often think about God as someone who's cruel, who's against them? Do you ever think about him as a friend? Do you ever think of Jesus Christ as a friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. He's a friend.
Amen.
He became flesh.
Yes.
And he's able to save you today.
Yes.
And give you life eternal. Wage of sin is the wage. Wages of death is sin. The gift of God is eternal life. Without money, without price.
Yes.
Look to him without delay, and you'll pass from death on to life. Let us join together now, please, in singing the final hymn. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. Let us stand together, please, as we sing. benediction as we make our way up to the cemetery. Johnson family have asked me for everyone who would like for to meet with them, convey their sympathies, if you would come back please and meet with them here at the hall. The ladies here in Kilskerry have very kindly today laid on some refreshments for us back here in the hall, and everyone is welcome. We'll be brief up at the graveside, for the weather is not good, but let us look to the Lord now in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, abide with us, O God, we ask of thee. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.